We are living in very, very scary times.
And a woman has been arrested by Cheshire Police in relation to an inaccurate information on social media.
Today, some other people have been given whopping great big terms in prison for social media posts.
I guarantee you will regret taking part in this disorder, whether directly or those whipping up this action online.
Scotland's new hate crime laws have come into force. Some people could be investigated by police if they misgender someone online.
How many people do you think were arrested in Britain for things they said on social media last year?
I have no idea.
3,300.
Really?
Police will be the source of truth and not social media.
The US is a tough one because, you know, we have the notion of the First Amendment.
There are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
If people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block. It's really hard to govern today.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways.
The First Amendment is not absolute. It does not protect any single thing anyone says. And there are limits, and that's important. And what this committee has been trying to do for the last year and a half is to chill the federal government from monitoring what is going on social media.
And pretend that they know what our founding fathers meant when they drafted the Constitution. I use the word pretend because who the heck would know?
Choices that were made in adapting the Constitution have come to haunt us. Isn't it time to start thinking of a new Constitution?
Founders in 1787, if they came back in 2024, the first thing they would say, I think, is, you know, our system did not work. What happened?
And how do you balance free speech and versus crazy stuff that, you know, got people not to take vaccines, for example?
Right. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation.
Musk is sort of trying to pretend sort of freedom of speech is an absolute right. It's never been an absolute right.
Moderation is a propaganda word for censorship.
They want Elon Musk gone, X turned off, and freedom of speech stamped out.
Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes instructed X to crack down on users accused of spreading misinformation. In his decision, Moraes said, quote, X shall refrain from disobeying any court order already issued.
Elon Musk really showing contempt for the government and its approach on this issue. What's your take?
He has absolutely no social conscience. Someone like that should be in jail and the key be thrown away. That bloke should not have a right to be out there on his own ideology platform.
This bloke thinks he's above the law and above common decency. This shouldn't be a matter of the law. It should be a matter of people doing the right thing.
To provide users with corrections to disinformation and misinformation. And Mr. Musk, you obviously don't know what I'm made of.
The privilege of using those words in that way should probably be taken from him.
Because some people in your crowd thought they might have been shadow banned by Facebook. I mean, for God's sakes!
This is the third election in a row in which Russia has tried to interfere, yes, to try to get Trump into the White House.
He's also got a brand new, very, very powerful tool, which is Elon Musk and X. We have Elon Musk talking directly to the Kremlin.
This is a matter of corporate responsibility. Twitter should be held accountable and shut down that site. It is a matter of safety and corporate accountability.
Deep fakes and manipulation of elections, that hurts democracy, and we think this law is sound and will be upheld in courts.
It is much better to vaccinate so that the body is inoculated. Pre-bunking is the same approach. Because disinformation relies on people passing it on to others.
So we're regularly making sure social media platforms are aware of the latest narratives. You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there.
Yeah, when they tell you what they're going to do, folks, it's best to believe it. They are planning and coordinating on an international level to eliminate the very concept of free speech, amongst other, you know, core concepts of the foundation of Western civilization. Free speech is not American, by the way. We codified it in our Constitution, but that grew out of English common law.
Hey,
As you know, I am fighting the deep state to keep my broadcast on air. But if you simply support my sponsors, we will stay on the air one way or another. So I thank you for your past support. But I try to make it easy for you to support our sponsors by bringing you the very best products. This product, Optimal Human, is simply game-changing. Now, as you know, green superfoods for decades have been all the rage because they really work and because you absorb things better in the gut. And there's a lot of great ones out there. But ladies and gentlemen, Optimal Human has the highest quality ingredients, 90-plus ingredients. It does amazing things. I've been taking it for months, and I want you to get it. And understand this, its leading competitor is amazing, and I've been using it and love it. But this has the same ingredients and even more, and is stronger, and it's the same serving amount, but for a lower price. So the leading competitor, everybody knows their name. It starts with A and ends with G. This is amazing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get Optimal Human.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Still just, it's like any new revelation about how insecure our election system is, it always hits like it's the first time that you're seeing this. Because you just read things like this from Election Wizard on X. Political advertisers for a Republican congressman from New Jersey in a close race were reportedly dumped in the trash by a postal worker at a supermarket in Pennsylvania. The incident was captured on surveillance video, and USPS is investigating. This is the thing. This is what we're up against. Like we said, I mean, if you're convinced that you're stopping Hitler from coming into power, you know, maybe you're a postal worker and you have a bunch of mailers that are trying to get Republicans out to vote. Yeah, maybe you dump them in the trash. I mean, it's a crime, sure. It's a federal offense, yeah. But, you know, you're probably not going to get caught. And who's to say, you know, where these things went? It's a small act of resistance, right? It's what you're supposed to do. It's what they've told you that your job is. It's just absolutely everywhere. So just think about the people that care enough to volunteer and go work as a Democratic operative behind the scenes. This is just some random mailman. He's out there committing federal crimes just to potentially lessen Republicans getting spam mail about their candidate. What do you think they'd be willing to do in the back rooms without any oversight, as they are doing and getting in trouble for, but nothing's happening when they're working over the weekend without any poll watchers to bring in hundreds of thousands of supposedly mailed-in ballots. Nothing is done about it. Breaking electoral news, it looks like Elon's PAC America is going to be busing PA Republicans to the polls on Tuesday, much like the Pennsylvania Democrats did in 2022 for Fetterman. Dems will likely be busing their own voters as well, but the fact that GOP has responded is big. I saw this posted, and whoever posted it did so with a comment, you know, the right wing finally has its George Soros. It's a start. It's certainly a start. You know, thank God for Elon Musk putting everything on the line, doing what he's doing to try to get Trump elected. And he is working and working to counteract just some of the George Soros effect. But remember, for every George Soros, there's 10 other unnamed billionaires doing exactly the same thing, and sometimes with even more money. And of course, Elon Musk pointed this out as well, as somebody on CNN or something was saying how this billionaire being involved in politics is terrible. And he's like, well, they never seem to complain about George Soros, who gives 10 times more than me. And he didn't even mention Mark Zuckerberg, who helped to rig the election in 2020, admittedly, with $400 million. So, yeah, Trump's got one billionaire on his side. Good for him. The sad part is that there are like thousands of millionaires and billionaires out there that are diehard Trump supporters and that do absolutely nothing, or at least absolutely nothing effective, to counteract the Democrat machine in the same way. It's a story as old as our country, really. Kyle Becker put this out, says, let's recap the 2020 election so far. So, yes, we are one day away from Election Day, but with this brave new world, this newly installed mail-in ballot procedures, things are a little bit different. Here's how some of the counties are doing in the swing states. After all, this whole election does come down to a small number of critical swing states and a few counties within those swing states. Fulton County, Georgia, illegally counted ballots over the weekend before letting GOP observers in. In Maricopa County, 40,000 damaged voter registrations were dumped at the deadline, projected huge spike in provisional ballots. Bucks County, Pennsylvania, sought to disenfranchise GOP voters by denying access to ballots. They lost a lawsuit and were first forced to extend their voting period, although some people are still being forced to wait in line for hours and hours to cast their vote. Philadelphia County, Pennsylvania, Harris staffers were caught on video handing out pizza and signs at polling places in possible violation of PA state law. In Wayne County, Michigan, RNC chair had to ensure that thousands of duplicate ballots reported in a glitch would not be counted. American elections are a disgrace. If Trump wins the election, his first mission should be to restore free and honest elections in this country. Or maybe just do away with them altogether. I don't know. Trump for emperor. Weird ballot shenanigans happening in Kentucky, according to libs of TikTok. If your ballot has any markings on any other boxes, make sure to ask for a new ballot or it could potentially be deemed inadmissible. And this has to do with this tiny dot that happens to be printed in the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz selection. It says, voters, I saw this yesterday. Look closely at your ballot. If it has a small dot in the Kamala box, take a pic of it and ask for another one. Any other box filled in will be void. So I guess by having this like dot in this ballot, it essentially means that if you vote for Kamala Harris, your vote will be counted. If you vote for anybody else, it will be marked as it'll be void. It will be undone because according to the machine, it looks like you marked two boxes, so it just won't count it. Now, if you vote for Kamala, and that's the box with the dot, then it'll count. But maybe it's an accident. I mean, maybe it's another one of these coincidences that happens to always contribute to the Democrats. Maybe it's a coincidence. It's not, though, but it's not actually. Out to your phone calls once again. We've got Brett in Pennsylvania next in line. Go ahead, Brett. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Long time no talk.
How you doing?
Been better.
Yeah.
So very brief background. I grew up in a family that knew about the New World Order. Not a single member of my family got jabbed. Since 6 years old, I've been fully conscious of it. Since 11 years old, I have been a highly active participant in the information war.
Excellent.
A lone man on a soapbox. Over a quarter of a century, I have woken up at least 1,000 people. And the great awakening, I can attest to you, is absolutely here. The work that people like myself and yourself and Alex and so many others have worked for is happening, but we are about 5 seconds to midnight. So in the current situation I see ourselves in, I'm sure you know about the DOD directive.
Yes.
That was recently leaked. So I don't think it really matters at this point, because I think if Trump somehow manages to overcome the 1,000 different vectors of fraud that are going into this election cycle and manages to become president, the CIA or some other nefarious organization will do a terrorist attack disguised as MAGA, blame it on MAGA as an excuse to declare martial law. If Harris wins, what would happen. If Trump wins, liberals will lose their minds and start burning the cities down like they did in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get martial law. So either way, I think they're going to get the chaos that they want so that they can clamp down. So,
yeah. That's certainly what they're planning on. Again, I, the only silver lining that I see to this is that everything that they're putting in place is a weapon that can be turned against them. And it's up to Republicans to have the fortitude to actually fight fire with fire. But this is like the whole reason why you're not supposed to implement these things. Because like, yeah, sure, you might want to be able to censor what you call disinformation. You might want to be able to send the military after your political enemies while you're in power. But now you've set the precedent. And if you lose the next election, the weapon you just manufactured is now in the hands of your enemies and can be turned on you. And that's why for 200 years of American history, we didn't do this sort of thing, because it's obvious how what a bad feedback loop this represents. The Democrats have decided that doesn't matter anymore. They're just going to do it. They're just going to impose all of these things and give them, award themselves all of these new abilities. And it's really up to Republicans not just win this election, but then turn the cannons on the people who built them. I mean, if they want, to call things misinformation, well, I guess it'll be illegal to talk about trans kids anymore like that. And I don't want it to be that way, but it's like, what's the option? Only one side is playing with these rules and the other side is sticking very respectfully to the rules that aren't in play anymore. I mean, it's not really an opportunity. So,
very good. No, those are very good points. But actually kind of like goes back to some of what the earlier callers were saying, like if Trump would manage to get in and get into office, well, I mean, you mean just get to the president-elect. They're saying they're going to refuse to certify him. They have the whole collapse of the economy with a myriad of other things that they can utilize once he's in office and blame him for it. So, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the country for a couple months and just kind of see what happens.
Well, I don't blame you for that. Thank you for the call, Brett, and thank you for all the work that you do, sir. And it's true, one person can wake up 1,000. And guess what? All of those 1,000 people can wake up another 1,000. It really is just about us taking on this mission and treating it with the seriousness it deserves. And we can turn this thing around. I believe that the Great Awakening is on. I firmly believe that. And just out of the videos that we've seen over the last several months of people who – there have been so many – situations that lead to awakening. COVID obviously was a gigantic one. So many people woke up from that. Gaza has been a huge eye-opener for people to start asking questions about things that they just took as true by assumption or by trusting what they've heard for years. It's happening. The ball is rolling. The cat is out of the bag. People get what's going on now. And it's why the left is so frantically trying to get into place censorship and all this other stuff, because they can see where the tide is turning and they are desperate to stop it. Thank you for the call, Brett. Let's go to Tom in Michigan now about how to audit the vote. I don't think it's possible, Tom. I mean, we can't even stop illegals from voting in our election. The Chinese guy that voted in Michigan, they're like, yeah, he was arrested and he's been charged, but his vote still counts for some reason. This is nonsense, but... What are your thoughts on how to audit the vote, Tom?
Well, I think the best way to do it is just go back to the old paper ballots like we did when I was, first voting when I started way back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is I think that we all need to just take a picture of our ballot before and after. That way we have a copy of it and we can kind of, have a way to fight back with it. And I'm glad that we're finally woken up. I brought this up to you in 2000 and now... One, and I'm glad to see that it's finally taken hold.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the problems that we face here is that the solution to these issues is not difficult. Like, people act, I'm not saying you're doing this, Tom, but, people act like we need to invent some new way. Like, well, it's, like, there's some problem that we're having to solve. Like, there's no problem. They're just creating problems. They're creating mail-in ballots that cause all of these host of issues. We can just not do that. We can just not have mail-in ballots. It's very simple. No more mail-in ballots. Problem solved. Like that, it really is that simple. Mail-in ballots didn't exist as a mass way to vote in America before 2020, and was only imposed in 2020 on the basis of COVID lockdowns and not being able to get to the polls. So there's no reason to have mail-in ballots. We've never had mail-in ballots before 4 years ago. Why do we have them now? We shouldn't. We just shouldn't have them. It's very simple. If we want to come up with other ways to do it, there's an infinite number of ways to make voting more secure. Blockchain would be one of them. I think having some sort of financial aspect to it would be another. I mean, obviously they would, screech voter suppression, but would it really be that burdensome on American citizens if they had to like pay a dollar? If they had to pay a dollar to vote, would you not then at least have a parallel record, a financial record that can be audited and compared to the voting record? I don't know. Something like that. There are a million different ways to do it. But yeah, the most secure way would be to do elections like they do them in third world countries that are having elections for the first time. It's ink on your thumb. You vote that way. you then not only have, you know, ink that doesn't wash off, so you can't vote multiple times, but you can actually scan the thumbprints and compare them to all the other thumbprint scans to see if any of them match. It doesn't have to be identified. You don't have to say, this, here's a person with their, and this is their thumbprint. You just have to go, is this, does this thumbprint match any other thumbprints? Oh, look, you have 10 valids, all the same thumbprint. They're all invalid. Like, there are so many ways to make this simple and secure. The fact that it's not is because it's on purpose. It's by design. So they don't want it to be safe. They don't want it to be secure. There's another thing that Joe Rogan and Fetterman talked about, or was it them who was talking about it? There's a clip that was going around. I saw posted a whole bunch where, they're saying that same thing where it's like, the only reason you wouldn't have voter ID is so you can cheat. That's it. It's the only reason. There's no other legitimate concerns about having an ID to vote. It's, you only support that if you are going to use it to cheat. That's it. That's all. It's the only reason. Thank you for the call, Tom. Let's go to Mark in Kansas now. Another possibility for the powers that be to throw a wrench in the workings of humanity following Election Day. Thanks for calling in, Mark. You're on the air. World War III. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been listening to Alex since back when you could YouTube him and not have filters on and not find him. But
the good old days.
Yeah. But no, if Kamala was to get in, World War III seemed kind of inevitable. So, like, what would the pros be? I know there's a lot of cons, but is there any pros that could come out of that?
I could come up with some. Yeah, probably. I mean, I've said before, only half jokingly, that, like, I wish they would implement the draft, because then you'd force people to pick who they want to fight, what they want to fight for. You can either be sent by the government overseas to fight someone you've never met and have no problem with for nothing that benefits you, or you can fight the government that's trying to take you there. So I don't know. I mean, if they launch World War III, if they try to do a draft and draft a bunch of young men, like, those young men are probably just going to join up in militias and be like, if you want us to fight for you, come and get it, right? So I don't know. It could be a positive. The problem is World War III is likely going to be a nuclear war. So in that case, no, I don't see any positives. I don't. Unless you're, you know, Dr. Strangelove, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Unless you have a, pre-established underground bunker under a mountain somewhere, and you'll come out after the radiation poisoning is decreased. Sure, it might be positive then. No, I don't see any positives other than that. Yeah, maybe that would be something that could bring Americans together. Maybe we can stop screeching at each other about abortion when it's all of our lives on the line and we're all going to World War III for, like, an indeterminate reason. They won't even tell us what we're doing in Ukraine or why it's necessary for us to have our entire Navy positioned just off the coast of Israel. Like, yeah, maybe this is something we can come together on and go, hey, we'll put all of our other differences to the side. Let's get rid of the regime that's trying to kill us all first. I wish we could just do that without World War III, but maybe that's what it's going to take. But I don't know, Mark. Thank you so much for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Rack Attack in Pennsylvania now about the psyops and gaslighting. Go ahead, Rack Attack. You're on the air.
Hello, Harrison, a 22-year listener here of InfoWars. I'd like to thank Alex Jones for being a Paul Revere times 1,000 American hero, is what he should be going down as.
Amen.
Not getting sued all over the place. And I'd like to thank everybody at InfoWars for waking me up and keeping me informed. The only real news out there. Uh-huh. Psychological, they say that there's no election interference. But for the last 9 years, the mainstream media, including apps on your phone or wherever, just the mainstream media, it's all anti-Trump rhetoric. It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
That's psychological operations being played upon the American people. Social engineering. You go to some of these news apps, there's like 3 or 4 different highly pushed news apps. And if you go to the comment section, you see all the negative anti-Trump stuff atop with lots of votes and stuff like that. Anything pro-Trump, they push towards the bottom.
Mm.
And I wouldn't doubt a lot of those are social engineering bots posting those comments, because they never answer back. If you disagree with them, they don't answer back.
Right.
Censorship, same thing. Shadow banning, heck, they even banned Trump. Off Twitter. I mean, the social engineering, psychological operations that they've been doing for the last 9 years intensely is that's election interference. Mm. So how could they even possibly say there's no election interference? My family is really my girlfriend's family. I have no blood family left, but they're all leftists. And one of them in particular, just to take an example, only listens to mainstream media stuff. And you would swear that the person thinks it's the second coming of Hitler times a thousand.
Right.
That's what this social engineering and psychological operations in the news has done to her.
Yeah.
And then you got the demonization of the word conspiracy theorist, the phrase conspiracy theorist by the CIA dispatch 1035-960.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps people from looking into anything, and nobody wants to, you know, they're ASH conformity, A-S-C-H conformity. They don't want to look into anything that might put them outside the crowd, so they will never investigate anything, 9-11 or whatever it may be. They won't investigate. They won't question. If you try to talk to them about it, they get irate. They get combative. They won't go into anything.
Right.
And that goes right along with what Obama did when he was in office. Got rid of the Smith-Mundt Act, which prevented the government from using propaganda against its citizenry. Now, why would he do that? My opinion is he did it in preparation for everything that you saw for the last 9 years.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Psychological operations is exactly how to denote like everything that we've seen go on. And again, it's not. You're right. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just conspiracy, right? Event 201 might be the best example. It was happening in secret. It was designed to manage the psychological response to the stimuli of a novel new virus. That this is what it looks like. This is what it is. It's like has never been more clear. If you can't see it now for what it is, if you can't recognize it's right in front of your face, I don't know if I can tell you any straighter. They hold simulations where they plan out what they're about to do and how to manage the response through the media, and then they do it. So this is a conspiracy. It's a psychological operation, and we are all victims of it. Thank you so much for the call, Rack Attack. Let's go to Mitch in Massachusetts. We got 1 minute left before we welcome Kirk Elliott. Mitch, you're on the air about the windmills in the ocean. What's up with this, sir?
Hey, Harrison, I just want to let you know that they're trying to tear the ocean down, and they're trying to get everyone off it, and they don't want anyone seeing what's going on. They're using these very powerful sonar machines to scan the bottom of the ocean to drive tile, and they're not just killing whales like Trump was saying on Joe Rogan, or they're not just killing birds, they're also killing whales, and
Yep. They
have designs for floating windmills, and they have articles speaking about putting nets off the bottom of the floating windmills to fish off them. And all they want to do is, it's a big protein, the protein thing. They're coming after our protein, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's about protein and energy, and it's an all-out attack against us. And if Trump doesn't get in, I mean, all we can do is vote. If they can't steal it, hopefully they can't, and he gets in. But if he does, we're done.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Just beside all of the, you know, policies that we talk about, abortion or even war, things like that, like on top of that, are the Chinese fishing fleets that are destroying entire, you know, swaths of the ocean, killing everything, and then moving on to the next. The windmills, the green energy, the climate scam that's seeking to shut down farms and force you to eat bugs, and the social credit score and the digital ID. I mean, all of that is at play here. Trump's not going to stop all of it. It's not up to him. We can't rely on him alone to do all of this, but he is the beachhead that we need to operate from and to defeat this anti-human agenda. We'll be right back with Kirk Elliott.
We are announcing Ultimate Hydroforce. Now, this is not just electrolytes, okay? This is really a superfood, similar to Vitamin Mineral Fusion, but with a whole bunch more electrolytes and other things in there. It would take me a long time to go through the ingredients, 3 pages of them here, and what they do. But it's got super high quality vitamin C, niacin, vitamin B6, vitamin B12. It's got pantheogenic acid, vitamin B5, so key, calcium, magnesium, zinc, manganese, chloride, sodium, and more. Potassium, the list goes on and on. And it's all the highest quality sources of it on top of that. And then it funds my broadcast and the crew and all of us continuing on. So we need your support if InfoWars shuts down November 13th to continue on. Regardless, it's going to help us up our game if InfoWars survives. So please go check out this amazing supplement, the highest quality you're going to find, with big discounts and other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. We sought out the very best, highest quality rehydrating product for pre-workout, post-workout, you name it. And we found a top company with top reviews that would let us private label it. And it's beyond just hydration. It's beyond just getting your electrolytes. It's a superfood. It's a pre-workout. It's a post-workout. You've got to go read all the ingredients that are in this bad boy. And then look at the insane low prices, between 30 and 50% off, depending on how many canisters you get of Ultimate HydroForce. Now, again, go look at the ingredients for yourself and the quality of the ingredients and the amount of the ingredients. This baby is next level. This is beyond anything out there at anywhere near this low price. As you know, I always seek to bring you the very best supplements possible so you get a great response, great effects, and you want to come back and get them again. Like a restaurant wants to have tasty, good, delicious food. So there's a line out the door. Well, I've got to admit some false advertising, and next time we're reproduce this, or my sponsors do, we're going to probably have to change the name. And why is that? Well, it's simple. This is called Ultimate HydroForce Electrolyte Drink Mix. But it's really a superfood post-workout, pre-workout. That's why it's Ultimate HydroForce and more, I guess you say. Hydration, energy, vitamins, minerals, health, immune system. Get your HydroForce exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me in studio is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Dr. Elliott has been safeguarding clients' assets with precious metals for over 21 years. His firm, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, serves over 18,000 clients all over the world and in every state, and has reallocated billions of client assets into precious metals. You can visit their website at kepm.com/gold or call 720-605-3900. 3900. That's 720-605-3900. Mr. Elliott, Dr. Elliott, thank you so much for joining us once again.
You bet. It's great to be with you.
It's great to be with you. We're on the eve of something. Something's going to happen tomorrow one way or another. We've had a lot of callers, and I've sort of talked about a little bit the threat of economic destruction following a Trump election, or what would happen following a Kamala election. A lot of people very tentative about the future right now. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing an economic fallout either way. Not, but
take this with a grain of salt. If Kamala gets in, which I don't think that she will.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope and pray not. Her policies of absolute economic destruction would ravage America. Mm. She wants to increase capital gains taxes. She wants to have a 25% unrealized capital gains tax. I mean, this is insane. She wants to keep spending money, $25,000 for brand new home purchases. Where is that money going to come from? We don't know. But whenever you have lowering wages, rising inflation, rising interest rates to slow down that inflation, and increased taxes, that's a recipe for destruction. And I think markets are starting to play into something here. And I don't know what, quite honestly, because if she gets in, the economy's toast.
Right.
And like Trump said, I don't think that we could recover from that.
Right.
America might be done. Now, Trump gets in. I think he goes back to what the founding fathers envisioned for our country, which is tariffs instead of income tax.
Right.
I mean, that's how it was for over 100 years. Right. So if you have that, it's going to make foreign goods more expensive. And what's going to happen if all of our imports are more expensive? We're going to start buying American.
Right.
And then you've got jobs always follow manufacturing, right? So when you have that, you're going to have more people working in America, as more people are buying American stuff. And then we've got more income, more sales tax revenue, and property tax revenue. It's a plan for success. So put this into perspective. If Trump gets in, the left is going to be very upset. Hmm. And they're going to say, okay, we're going to actually destroy the economy and do something, create bank failures. World Economic Forum has been talking about things like this for a long time.
Right.
Right, where would they need central bank digital currency. Nobody would want to give up their individual freedoms, their financial privacy, in exchange for something where they have promised programmable money means what? Means your social credit score, your digital social profile, your ideology-based spending can cut you off from your money.
Right.
So they need a collapse of some sort for actually have people say, government, please fix it. Right. So if when Trump gets in, I think that they will plan some kind of economic devastation of sorts so they can get their way.
Yeah.
Now, as we look at what's been happening over the last weeks or actually couple of months, Harrison, we've got billionaires who are dumping their stocks.
Right.
Like big. So Warren Buffett, we'll start with him. And there's a whole host of them. This is going to kind of start to paint a weird, ugly picture for the economy. He was the second largest shareholder of Bank of America in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was his second largest shares that Berkshire Hathaway had. Apple was the largest, right? So in the last, since July, he's dumped $7 billion worth of Bank of America. So now he's under 10% threshold of ownership of the company. So he doesn't have to report anything anymore.
Mm.
But it wasn't just Bank of America that he sold. He also sold all of his JP Morgan Chase. He sold all of his commercial banking interests. He's not expecting good things
for
the banking world. Ray Dalio of Bridgewater Funds, another billionaire investor, sold all of his bank shares. Stanley Druckenmiller has the largest short of U.S. treasuries in history. It's 20% of the hedge fund's total portfolio is in U.S. treasury shorts. Bezos sold another $3 billion of Amazon. And you've got massive people that are billionaires that are dumping their shares.
Right.
And specifically bank stocks. So if you're a billionaire investor and you think that the economy is going to do well, you're not just going to hold, you're going to actually buy more of those shares. But they're dumping them. What do they think is coming?
Right.
So they're either playing into the fact that they actually think that Harris is going to win.
Mm.
And that's going to destroy the economy, or that something else is going to happen to destroy Trump's reputation, because that's something that they create. That's my personal view. But either way, I think there's an economic catastrophe coming, and these billionaires who are World Economic Forum types, they're in the know. Some of them are George Soros proteges. They're seeing mayhem coming, or else they wouldn't be dumping all of these shares.
Right. Although it is possible that they're dumping the shares to create the because they know people are looking, they know people are watching what they're doing. So they think, okay, if I dumpster, you know, what it makes me think of is Nathaniel Rothschild, you know, selling all of his shares after he knows that Napoleon lost, because he knows everybody's watching me.
Right.
If I dump all my shares, they're going to think Napoleon won. And so, you know, could there be some sort of underhandedness going on in that way?
There very well could be. And when you kind of dig in deeper at what's happening globally on a geopolitical landscape. On October 22nd through the 24th, the BRICS nations met in Kazan, Russia.
Right.
So what did they talk about? They are instituting their own currency, a BRICS currency unit, which view that as kind of like the euro. It's a basket of all the BRICS currencies into one unit. 60% of the weighting of that currency is going to be the value of the countries of BRICS. 40% is going to be gold. First global currency to have that much gold backing ever. What are they trying to do? Bring more demand into their currency to dismantle the U.S. dollar.
Right.
So that could be playing into it. You look at what Russia is also doing when it comes to this is going to tie into the banks in a weird sort of way. So 2 weeks ago, he announced that they're going to have strategic reserves of the ruble with silver, not just gold. So they already have like 1,000 tons of gold, but they added silver into the mix. And Harrison, I'm thinking, this makes zero sense. Silver is not a large enough market to actually back a currency. So, but why would he do it if it's going to amount to a hill of beans of difference? Because he knows with the big banks in America, if his goal is to de-dollarize the world, how do you do that? You can destroy us from within by killing some of the big banks in America, whether it's JP Morgan Chase, HSBC, or Bank of America, the three largest shorters of silver on the planet. Now, if you have a short in silver, it means if the price goes up, you lose money hand over fist. If the price goes down, you're making money, which is why they've been manipulating the markets for decades. Putin knows this, right? So he's thinking, okay, we'll add strategic reserves of silver. It's not enough to back our currency, but it will take away all of the supply.
Interesting.
Every time silver goes up a dollar, these banks estimated lose about $600 million. So.
Interesting. So increase the demand for silver by making a reserve currency.
Kill their short positions. They're going to have to cover those shorts. They're going to run out of money. And if you get just one of those big banks, it's going to be like Silicon Valley Bank on steroids.
Right.
Because it'll be a run on the banks. He can destroy the banking system in the West from within, the BRICS nations and their currency unit by default will gain international attention because their competitor, the big kid in the sandbox, the U.S. dollar, is now out. And, right. and their job of de-dollarizing the world to become the world's reserve currency is established.
Right. And our position as world reserve currency is the dollar. Like that's what keeps it up, right? So as soon as that goes away, and obviously that's what Trump talked a lot about that in 2016. I know a lot of moves he made in his presidency were sort of intended to keep the dollar as the reserve currency, recognizing what a catastrophic thing that would be to lose that by bringing back manufacturing and trying to actually have economic output in America rather than just relying on, you know, military intervention, imposing our dollar on everybody else. Do I have that right? Or like, what do you think this, if this is the problem, what's the solution? What could Trump do if he got into office to counteract that?
So I think because the BRICS nation is such a large trading bloc, it's like 50% of the world's population.
And getting bigger, yeah.
And getting bigger because on October 22nd through 24th, they added 13 more nations into the mix. So what does that do for them? It means, okay, these nations that aren't full-fledged BRICS countries, but they're like partners, their partner countries, they're now going to trade in their own currencies with each other, which builds the demand for them, and it destroys the demand for the U.S. dollar.
Right.
So as that happens, what happens to us? We every single year, we hear, oh, government's going to run out of money. We need to raise the debt ceiling. We can't have the government shut down. In the past, this has been just a rubber stamp approval because they could. We had the world's reserve currency, which means built-in demand for our currency. They could print whatever they wanted, and there was still demand. Now, Putin knows, and Xi in China, that those days are numbered, right? And as we lose that currency status, reserve currency status, we have to have discretion in our printing. So if Trump goes to them and says, Hey, you know that reserve currency status we used to have that Biden killed and put in the tanker? We want it back. Trump is the most amazing economic president in the history of our country, but we're not getting that back.
Right.
Because if you're the BRICS nation, it's like, no, we worked really hard for this. We're 50% of the world's population. We're not giving that back. We've got it now. So therefore, we have to have discretion in our spending. We have to think outside of the box and do what Trump is planning. Put tariffs on foreign goods, destroy their economy, right? Have them pay for our tax bills, for our infrastructure, everything else, on tariffs on foreign goods, because that will drive jobs back to America. We're going to start buying American. And I know that the left is saying this policy idea of Trump's is horrible because all it's going to do is raise prices on things. Yeah, temporarily it will, because so much of what we purchase is an import, but people change their spending habits, right? If we're strapped for capital and something is really expensive, we're not going to buy it anymore.
Right.
We're going to buy the relatively cheaper item, which is ultimately going to be American goods.
Right.
And that'll create jobs and everything. So I think that's how you counteract this, is by doing what he's doing. Tax the living daylights out of foreign goods coming in. Have those other countries pay for it. Reduce our income taxes or take them away completely, so we have a larger bottom line.
Right.
And then we spend more, and we're going to spend on American goods. Yeah. I think that's the solution.
And hopefully lowering government spending by some degree. You just told me a number that blew my mind. $104 billion was added to the debt in one day. Did I get that right?
Yeah. So on October 31st, $104 billion was added to our national debt. Now, the end of the fiscal year for the U.S. government is in September, the end of September. The very first day in October, $275 billion was added to our national debt. I mean, you look at these numbers, okay? It's like, take that 275 number in one day, multiply that times four, that's over $1 trillion.
Right.
In 4 days. From 1776, when we became a country, until 1980, when Reagan became president, 204 years, our national debt grew from zero to almost $1 trillion.
Right.
In 204 years. At the beginning of this fiscal year, we were on pace to adding that in 4 days. I mean, they're spending like drunken sailors.
Yeah.
And this is unsustainable, especially when we lost our petrodollar.
Right.
Because in January, when the BRICS nations added United Arab Emirates and Iran and Argentina and Ethiopia and Egypt, a lot of the oil producers, but they basically added OPEC.
Right.
So they killed the petrodollar. We no longer have demand for our currency. This is a huge, huge problem, and I think this debt cycle is going to implode, and we just happen to be the generation that's alive to see it happen.
Right. Wow. And of course, it would be – it's just one of the many cards they have to play to destroy Trump's presidency, maybe before he even gets into office, but I guess they'll probably wait until January to really let that happen because And again, I love having people like you on because I am not the most economically literate. The numbers get jumbled up in my head. But I do understand that like I can't remember the term for it now, but there's a lot of like outstanding debt right now. It's not being paid. There's a giant bubble in the private sector that is just it's fixing to pop as long as I understand it. In layman's terms, the bubble's fixing to pop and it's only getting bigger. And so, I mean, are they sort of just like – holding on and hold the line and wait until Trump's in office and then let it pop? Or is it, might it never pop and only get bigger? Like what's the deal with that? The unrealized gains or the outstanding debt that's sort of hovering above our heads right now?
I mean, that's the bajillion dollar question.
Right. Actually, right. Inventing new numbers here.
I mean, we are, it will pop.
Yeah.
100% it will pop. There hasn't been a reserve currency in the history of the world that's lasted forever.
Right.
The average is like 88 years. Well, we became the world's reserve currency in 1944. It's now like 80 years into an experiment where that's the average.
Right.
And sure enough, we're about to lose it. Why do we lose it? Because we have to print more money than what we need domestically to fund all the international usage of the dollar. And in time, people forget. You know, people just say, wait a second, you're flooding the world with dollars. You've squandered your time in the sun. We're going to get somebody else to be the world's reserve currency. That's just human nature.
Right.
And so we're seeing that. So it will implode. Now, is it going to implode prior because just natural forces, or are they going to blame it on Trump?
Right.
I don't know. But even if it did fall under a leftist regime,
it'd still
country,
be bad. Yeah.
They're still going to somehow blame it on Trump. They said, oh, right. We inherited that mess. Right. It's like, but we didn't. Trump's policies are pro-growth. Like when banks fail, the only reason banks fail is because you have more withdrawals going out than you have deposits going in. They run out of money.
Right.
Same thing with America. They have less national income because people aren't making enough money and there's no tax revenue and they have too many expenditures. The same is true for anybody. It's true for your family.
Right.
If you spend more than what you make, you're going to file for bankruptcy. What's true for an individual is true for a country, and at some point we've got to pay the piper, and we're there. We're there.
And it seems like the people in the know that we're there, as you're pointing out, the people dumping all of their stocks. And then the job numbers, we had a caller call in about the just horrific job numbers that came out recently. They were expecting 113,000 new jobs and got 10,000, right, I think is what they said. And of course, we know, if the pattern holds, none of those jobs actually went to Americans. Any jobs that were created went to, foreigners, foreign-born. So what's that about? I mean, how do you even have a job, miss your mark by 90%? I mean, that's insane.
So this game has been played for years.
Okay.
Where they come out with these amazing numbers and they say, oh, Bidenomics, it's so amazing. Look at all these jobs we created. And then 30 days later, they'll revise them down.
Yes, the quiet revision.
So they revise them downward around the same time that the next job numbers come out. It's like, look at these amazing numbers. And hidden underneath that is the revision from the previous
month. Right, what a shell game. Yeah.
So this shell game was very interesting this time because they could barely hide it. It was so bad. So the numbers that came out only showed 12,000 new jobs, right? But they were government jobs and they were healthcare jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Which are both heavily government-funded type jobs. One subsidized and one actually just government jobs. You look at the negative, like service industry, manufacturing jobs, down 100,000. That is a sure sign of a recession.
Yeah.
Because that's the meat and potatoes of the economy.
Because they're actually producing things, unlike the government that's just a parasite. Yeah,
like when you and I spend money and we go to Best Buy, we go to whatever store we're going to go, Target, you name it. What happens? We're spending money. That basically business says, ooh, we've got a lot of stuff that we're selling. We need to hire more people. That grows the economy, right? That's organic growth to an economy. Government spending is not real money. It's debt money.
Right.
Right. It is jobs that they're creating, but it's not something that's organic growth. They're just basically taking your and my tax dollars, or they're printing their way into it and creating jobs that shouldn't possibly exist.
Right.
Right. And that's the problem. And that's the basis of what these numbers look like. But it could also be the phoniness of how they measure them. Like if you had a high paying engineering job at Microsoft and they lay you off and you need to feed your family. Right. And you go and say, OK, I'm going to get a job at Wendy's. I'm going to get a job at Taco Bell and I'm going to be a greeter at Walmart.
Then we've just created three jobs.
You created two jobs. You created three. That's a net gain of two jobs. But you're making only half as much as you did before and you're not getting any benefits.
Right.
Right. That's how they can manipulate the numbers as well.
Wow. And of course, we know that happened under Obama very significantly where, all the jobs he created were part-time or half-time. And same thing with Biden, where all of the jobs are going to foreign-born while Americans are losing out. Yeah, that is an absolute recipe for disaster. So tomorrow is Election Day, as I'm sure you're aware. We, of course, will continue our coverage all the way through the election. We'll be here. All of us will be in studio until they might physically kick us out in a week from now. But short of that, we will be here covering it. We got 4 minutes left in the show. Give me your pitch. Give the audience your pitch. Why should they vote for Donald Trump? Why is it important to vote for Donald Trump, especially from the financial point of view?
Well, it's not just to regain and recapture our freedoms that have been lost. Our economic freedoms, political freedoms, personal freedoms, health freedoms, all of them. Our economy cannot grow under a Harris regime. It can't, because hers is based on raising taxes, spending money, and that's not growth. Mm. That's actually just spending more money. And we already seen the debt is exploding. So what Trump is going to do, bringing jobs back to America, basically penalizing the other countries, which hate us.
Mm.
China, Russia, they hate us. Right. And so that's what the BRICS nations are going to do. If we don't tackle this BRICS situation by putting tariffs on their goods, America's toast.
Right.
It is. It's very important we get out there and vote. Now, take this with a God is in charge, right? We always need to have faith. He always makes a way where there seems to be no way, right? But in time, we don't want to have to go through that kind of pain. Right. Before we get to victory. And so a Harris regime will be very much pain. And I'm not saying that a Trump presidency is going to bring joy and happiness from day one.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of upheaval. There's going to be a lot of upheaval because he has so much damage that needs to be undone from the last 4 years that it might take a year to unbury from that.
Right.
Even having the most prosperous economic president in the history of our country at the helm.
Right.
Still going to take some time to unbury us from what's been done.
Right. Well, and it's like as you were pointing out, like, yeah, putting tariffs on these countries, it might, you know, bump prices for a second, but it's like, it's not your fault. It's ripping the Band-Aid off. Yeah, the Band-Aids might, you know, hurt you a little bit when you rip the Band-Aid off, but you got to do it because you got to solve this problem. You got to solve the underlying issue to avoid much more significant pain in the future.
Correct.
Well, I just hope we can, get over the schemes that we're seeing them running with all of the fraudulent ballots and the mail-in ballots and all that stuff. Have you been watching that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I live in Colorado, and we have our Secretary of State that
published all the passwords.
Like for 3 months on the website. Who in Colorado thinks that their vote is going to count, quite honestly?
Well, and didn't Colorado go totally over to mail-in ballots? Isn't it totally mail-in ballot now, or did I have that wrong?
No, we can still go vote.
You can,
at the polls, yeah. But it's mostly mail-in ballots.
Right.
And oddly enough, I didn't get one.
Oh, yeah. What a coincidence.
Well,
lucky for you, you already voted in that case then. There you go. A proud Kamala Harris voter, unwitting or not. No, I'm kidding. Of course, Dr. Elliott, thank you so much for joining us. KEPM.com/gold is the website, or you can call 720-605-3900. And folks, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Of course, Alex Jones Show starts in under 2 minutes, and I hope that you join us there, and I hope you go to realthealexjonesstore.com. I always want to say Real Alex Jones because that's his ex. Follow him on X at Real Alex Jones. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. What's your ex? It's not on my sheet here.
Kirk Elliott, PhD.
Kirk Elliott, PhD. Follow him as well. We'll be here one way or another. I hope you're here with us through Election Day because we're going to have all hands on deck. Massive guests just watching and waiting and trying to figure out what comes next, folks. Stay with us. So the Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds, and we'll be back tomorrow morning for the date of decision, the inflection point, the crucible. Stay tuned.
My mission on air is to tell the truth, to rally humanity, and fight the globalist. And we've done one of the best jobs out there thanks to your support. So we know InfoWars could easily be shut down on November 13th. We're going to find out. But regardless, we've got great sponsors that are backing us to make sure the message of liberty and freedom and the resistance to the WEF, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, King Charles, Kamala Harris, New World Order continues to be in their face and continues to keep myself and the great crew at the tip of the spear. So, we have a great sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, with amazing t-shirts and caps and hoodies. They're really some of the best designs out there, and they fund the fight against the New World Order. But we've also brought you some of the very best supplements. And we could have had a whole huge line by now, but we want to go out to the very best companies and get agreements to private label already best sellers that are the top rated. That way we know you're getting the best. So we've got the CMOS gummies, the CMOS capsules, total superfood. Then you have the mega superfood with over 90 ingredients, the optimal human. It's the best of the green drinks out there, hands down. Plus the energy is amazing. That's all at thealexjonesstore.com. But now we are announcing the ultimate probiotic. That's the line, ultimate. And it's just a very high quality probiotic, the foundation that everybody needs at a very affordable price. upwards of 50% off when you buy multiple bottles. Big sales. Everything's at least 30% off when it comes to supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a high-end, quality probiotic that helps your gut be healthier, helps you absorb nutrients better, helps your whole immune system, and you will find Ultimate Probiotic with 60 billion, that's a very high number if you don't know about probiotics, at thealexjonesstore.com. A whole bunch of other great stuff's coming out in the next few weeks, so continue to check out the URL, thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. We salute you.